Chapter 24. Callista stood at attention on the docks, waiting for the king's arrival.
Heard you had a nice little respite in a private room below the palace,
murmured Captain Venix.
That's one way to say thank you, I guess.
He's lost his wife. He is not himself.
I'd say he's lost a bit more than his queen.
Callista glanced at the Vestayan captain sharply.
And here's our benevolent ruler now.
Venix nodded toward where the king was approaching, farther along the dock. He rode next to the queen's golden litter, which was carried by a team of indentured servants.
And everyone is just meant to pretend she's alive in there, I take it. Oh, this is going to work out just fine.
Hush,
hissed Callista, glancing around to see if anyone else had heard the captain.
Are you looking to get yourself executed?
Callista forced a neutral expression onto her face as the procession headed toward the waiting ship. Hecarim led the way, astride his massive armored warhorse, accompanied by 50 knights, all resplendent in dark armor and slate-gray tabards. They surrounded Viego and the golden litter. Thankfully, the curtains were closed, saving the crowd from seeing the corpse of their queen. Viego himself rode a tall white stallion. He was lavishly dressed in regal purples and blues and wore his golden tri-pointed crown upon his brow. The onlookers, hungry, desperate, and angry, watched in silence. Viego seemed completely unaware of their mood, smiling broadly and gracing them with a wave. It was painful to watch, and Callista winced inwardly. She prayed that there would be a city to return to, once all this madness was done. Ledros rode stiffly beside Viego on a giant, placid draft horse. It was probably the only beast capable of bearing his weight. As far as Callista was aware, he'd never sat in a saddle in his life, and he looked terrified, his face drawn as he clung to the saddle horn. Nunyo was there too, shuffling along behind the procession. Hecarim stared at her coldly as he reined his snorting and stamping steed before her. She looked up at him, head held high and back straight, refusing to be intimidated by the massive beast.
My lord?
Lady Callista,
he replied with the slightest nod of the head. The procession came to a halt, and Ledros half slid, half fell from the saddle. Callista gave a small laugh under her breath, though she regained her composure immediately, seeing Hecarim's eyes narrow. The Grand Master of the Iron Order stepped out of his stirrups, sliding to the stone dock with natural grace. He ushered a young squire forward.
See that my chest is stowed safely on board,
he ordered, barely taking his gaze from Callista. She stiffened.
The king agreed that the Iron Order would not be coming with us.
I am coming not as a knight of the Iron Order, but as a dear companion and friend to the king, and to accompany and protect my devoted wife-to-be, of course.
Callista made no reaction, but the knuckles on the hand holding her spear went white. What game was he playing? She felt this was all part of some larger plan, but for the life of her, she did not see it, and that made her nervous.
Unless there is a reason you do not want your betrothed to travel with you.
She took a measured breath, calming the fury within her.
Of course not.
Captain Venix glanced between them, then turned to cross the boarding ramp onto the Daggerhawk.
Yeah, this is going to work out great.
The Eternal Ocean. They set sail as the shadows of twilight drew in. Callista stood alone, watching as her homeland slipped toward the horizon, and melancholy settled upon her like a shroud. When last she set out for Helia, she was full of trepidation and doubt, but also a desperate hope. She felt none of that hope now, just deep, unsettled anxiety and dread. She watched until Camivore was lost to sight, then turned away. The rear deck had been taken over by the queen's covered litter, and spare sails had been rigged up around it to give additional privacy and protection from the wind, rain and salt spray.
The queen is too ill to be moved from her bed,
Viego had said. From where she now stood at the stern of the Daggerhawk, she could hear Viego's voice within that overwrought litter, though she couldn't decipher the words. She gave the litter a wide berth, nodding to the soldiers of the host standing at attention around its perimeter. Ledros guarded the front, his immense tower shield on his left arm and his right hand resting on the pommel of his sword. Callista altered her course to take her by him.
Whom does he speak with?
No one has entered, General.
It skirted the question, but it confirmed her suspicions.
He speaks to her as if she is alive. Does he still do this often?
Sometimes, General.
She sighed, both at the answer and at Ledros's formality. A wall had been raised between them, and it was her fault.
I'm sorry for the way I acted. It wasn't fair of me.
There's nothing to apologize for,
Ledros said, looking uncomfortable.
I spoke out of turn. It was not my place. It will not happen again, General.
An awkward silence descended between them. If anything, things felt worse now than before, and she could tell from the stiffness of his pose and the set of his jaw that Ledros felt it too. He saluted, which felt like a dismissal. Her face burning, Callista saluted back and walked away. The mist towered before the Daggerhawk like an unscalable cliff.
Fascinating,
breathed Viego, gazing in awe. He stood alongside Callista at the prow of the ship, the shouts and chatter of the sailors and soldiers having drawn him out from the queen's covered litter. It was one of only a handful of times he had been seen on deck during the weeks-long voyage. The days had dragged, and Callista felt as taut as a wire. The stilted awkwardness between her and Ledros remained, and they had not spoken further during the journey. Nor was there any warmth between her and Hecarim. Most of the time she kept to herself. Even Venix seemed tense. As they drew nearer the mist, Viego's expression was one of childish wonder, banishing the fevered, haunted look he had borne since Callista had returned. He almost looked like his old self.
And you say that without the stone, the mist will divert us and speed us back out?
Callista nodded.
We tried for days. The captain even strung up the ship's wheel with ropes to be sure our course did not deviate. Even then, we were turned completely around.
Viego shook his head.
It is an astonishing defense. Unless, of course, you have its key. Can I see it?
Callista pulled out the pale spherical waystone, and after a brief hesitation, she handed it over.
It seems such an innocuous thing,
murmured Viego, turning it over in his long fingers.
How did you get it again?
I was given it by someone hoping to ingratiate himself into your favor.
If it works, they can have anything they want.
He seemed an undesirable sort. Made my skin crawl.
Unpleasant and seeking favor. Well, it sounds like Camavoran court life would fit him like a glove.
Callista smiled.
It's good to see you laugh. You seem better today.
And why shouldn't I? I mean, we are so close. Now, show me how this stone works. Nanyo, come see this.
Callista took back the relic stone, anxiety churning within her. She had no idea if this was going to work. The sheer bank of white mist loomed before them, now less than an arrow's flight away. Captain Venix roared orders and the Daggerhawk's last sails were furled, though it continued to glide on. Another shout and oars were extended. Silence descended as the crew awaited their captain's word and everyone else held their breath in anticipation.
Princess, you ready?
Callista lifted her hand in acknowledgement, glancing back to meet Venix's eyes. She nodded to the Vestayan captain who bellowed out to her crew.
At the catch!
As one, the The blade of every oar dipped into the water.
And heave!
The daggerhawk pulled smoothly toward the mist, powering forward with each rhythmic stroke. Callista stared at the approaching wall and took a deep breath to steady herself.
Kemor, guide me. Please work.
She lifted the waystone high, just as she had seen Tyrus do. But as the daggerhawk's prow met the wall of mist, it did not part. The ship slipped through until it was completely engulfed. All sound within was muffled, and the sea was instantly calm and lake-like.
Is it working?
It does not seem so, my king.
Callista ignored them, holding the stone up even higher.
Come on!
Well, this is rather anticlimactic. I'm going to make sure Isolde is not unnerved by the mist.
I'm sure you would not let us down, Cal.
He turned and strode away, leaving just Nunyo as her audience. On, the daggerhawk continued, and still nothing happened. Approaching bootsteps sounded sharply on the deck behind her.
Princess,
said Venix, leaning in close.
Do we have a problem?
Maybe.
How will the king react if this doesn't work?
Badly.
The captain nodded, whiskers quivering.
Wonderful. Just wonderful. You ever think things would have been better if we had never returned to Camivor at all? We could be at a little Buru clam bar right now, watching the sunset and sinking a few. No? Just me?
Just you,
said Callista, angrily thrusting the relic stone into the air to no good effect.
Well, good luck with that rock. I'll go get my crew ready for whatever happens next.
Callista was left alone again with Nunyo. She glanced back along the deck. Sailors and soldiers watched her expectantly. She turned again toward the white void ahead. She remembered the artificer, Jendakaya, trying to help her fire the relic weapon.
Focus on the target, then ask the weapon to strike it.
That weapon had a relic stone as its heart, so it stood to reason that coaxing this one to work would require a similar focus.
Okay, you can do this. Focus on the mist and ask the stone to part it.
Of course, she hadn't been able to get the weapon to fire. She shook her head to dislodge that thought.
Could I be of any assistance? I do have a certain affinity with such artifacts.
Offered Nunyo from nearby. Callista glanced at him. His eyes were lit with curiosity and interest as he peered at the stone.
Let me try once more.
Of course,
he said, bowing and backing off.
Focus on the mist.
Callista muttered as she turned back toward it. She concentrated on the blankness before her, lifting the stone up high once again. It felt perfectly smooth in her hand. And did her skin tingle slightly beneath it? Or did she imagine that?
Now part it, you bastard thing!
A pulse from the stone ran down her arm, and the mist parted like a tunnel opening before the daggerhawk. There was a cheer from the crew, and the ship slid through. Callista lowered the stone, staring in wonder. Venix appeared at her side again and slapped Callista on the back, hard enough to knock her forward a step. The captain was stronger than she looked, and she already looked strong.
Ha! How'd you do it?
I swore at it.
Venix shrugged.
Whatever works, I guess.